Good morning. It's 7:43 a.m. Wednesday, August 30th, 2014. Pandora decided not to shut off for me this morning. $16.20 on the first mile. Okay. I must have got some tailwind or something. I'll take it. I'm also trying to hurry because I forgot to put my phone on airport or airplane mode last night. So the battery's a little low this morning. I'm hoping I'll get back before it fails completely. I probably could have done without the audio track, but oh well. I'm not sure it would have saved that much. And apparently it did help getting me through the first mile, so moving on. So there were more discussions about the Space Opera blog, the group blog yesterday. I think it's going to come together. There's a community on Facebook, a community on G+, and there'll be a blog. And in theory, the blog will be sneak peeks of work in progress. The communities will be links and reviews, artwork. There'll be some overlap between the two communities because there are a lot of people who are on Facebook who are not on the Plus, and there are a lot of people who are on the Plus who really don't see the point of Facebook. I'm on both, but I confess the point of Facebook is for me to participate in secret groups, not necessarily to play timeline games, which may, I'm perfectly willing to admit, which may be a mistake. I made a post on the Nathan Lowell author page a while back after Facebook sent me a message saying, your fans haven't heard from you. You might want to talk to them. So I made a post which was basically Facebook says I haven't talked to you and you might want to hear from me. Given that they only really deliver to about 10% of you, hello to the 100 or so that are there. Or something like that. I forget what it was now. It was some sort of cynical commentary. And apparently it went out to 1,700 people. I'm not exactly sure how, because the page doesn't have that many followers. So, I don't know. It was an interesting day yesterday. It wasn't the writing day that I'd hoped it would be, but it wasn't a bad day. I'm still struggling with the P.G. Holyfield situation. I really don't need to have the additional stress. And then it makes me feel guilty for thinking I really don't need the additional stress. Because I keep thinking of, well, my stress is pretty low compared to some other people. So it comes back to, I can't really control what other people think or feel or do. I can only work on myself. And part of it is accepting the fact that, yeah, well, it's a pretty natural response. I've been hit repeatedly, and while none of the blows have been mortal, the accumulated pummeling adds up. So, yeah, I'm not going to beat myself up for feeling the way I feel. I'm just going to try to find a cleaner place to be. So, I don't know if I'm supposed to share this or not. It's not really open for business, but if you want to see what's going on, the website is galaxyranger.net. There's nothing on it now except for, I think, a welcome notice. On G+, it's a Galaxy Rangers or Galaxy Ranger. The problem we had was that Galaxy Rangers was taken, and pretty much everything that we thought we wanted for a title was taken in terms of URL. So, what with Galaxy Ranger? And in theory, what's going to happen is that we'll be posting work in process chapters, not just mine, but Dan Thompson, Lisa Cohen. Okay, it's going to work for me. Normally I'd say don't bother. Today I will. A guy whose name I can never pronounce, Le Serant Planter? I forget. In theory, we'll be posting works there for people to see, find, like, and buy. Now, the question I've got at the moment is whether or not Cape Grace constitutes space opera. And it goes back to the definition of what the heck is space opera. And there's a certain definition that says that it requires some kind of broad scope. I think the broad scope is right, but I don't think this broad scope has to be the focus of the story. That's my problem with a lot of the military space opera, is that the focus is on the warfare, the focus is on the waste and tragedy of war, which is, that's all well and good, that's an appropriate commentary. But it's also pretty much a one-trick pony. Once you've had one or two of those, then the message gets a bit repetitive. I think that's why I have trouble with the people who've got 47 books, all set in the same universe, all with the same sort of war is horrible. And with characters that are a little more than cardboard cutouts propped up as weapons platforms. I think that's why I like, the ride and author. Marshall Thompson. I think that's it, Marshall Thompson. Because his stuff was, it was military, there's no question about it. But there was also the sort of backdrop of, the story was really about the people, not the war. And I think that's the hallmark of space opera. And that's that it needs to be, there needs to be some sort of, for lack of a better term, galactic scope. I'm happy with an interstellar scope. But there has to be an extended spacefaring civilization. And the story needs to be how the people, Monk Post, the individual people in the story, the story needs to be how they relate to each other and to the wider civilization. And from that perspective, Ishmael Wong is certainly space opera. Because the story is really about how he, and by extension humanity, has adapted to the diaspora of humanity among the stars, across a huge number of stars in a very short period of time. That's why populations on planets are so small. And they just haven't had a chance to breed yet. We're talking about a couple of hundred years on, in some planets that have only been settled for perhaps a decade.
Morning.
Good morning. Some of the older planets, some of the seats of government, most of the places that Ishmael Wong has been, have been around for a couple centuries. The technology is about 3 centuries old. 2.5, I think. But when you start with very low population densities, it takes a while for them to build up. When you consider that most of the seeding came from old Earth to begin with, and then leapfrog from the core worlds, which we haven't actually seen yet, to the eastern and western annex. And we haven't seen the northern annex yet, or the southern annex, or for that matter, the eastern annex. We've only seen the western annex. We've only seen a small part of the diaspora. And we haven't seen all of that. I mean, we haven't seen the dark side. We haven't seen what happens to the people who fall through the cracks. So there's another population, and that's where these next 6 books are going to go. Over into the dark side. And we'll see, between the two, where Ishmael Wong and any compatriots he might collect along the way wind up. Garbage truck parked beside the road, going over his route notes. The driver is going over his route notes, the truck isn't, I don't believe. So that brings me back to, is Cape Grace unquestionably set in a largely spread galactic space opera-ish, but not terribly pulpy universe? Cape Grace space opera. I suppose in the sense that Dune is space opera, the stories themselves are less about the interaction with the wider spread civilization, although there are drivers that are forcing the story. There are drivers. For example, Jimmy Pirano being called back to Dunsany Rhodes in order to take over the business which brought his sister several systems away. Over to St. Cloud. This, of course, is at a time when Ishmael Wong is still at school in Port Newmar. So I think perhaps, yeah, it's a very tenuous, well, I think I filed South Coast under space opera. In that instance, the driver, at least for the commercial side of the story, the mundane side of the story, was very much driven by circumstances only afforded because of the wider spread civilization. In fact, the reason that Jimmy Pirano needed those extra units of food was because he was trying to get the provisioning contract for the new shipyard that was going in next door. Well, that never came out in the story because it wasn't something that Jimmy was privy to, and since he was the mundane point of view, it was something that his father could have told him but didn't. I don't remember him telling him. When the old man came to visit with his security guard, so there's that larger driver that was pushing the whole mundane part of the story. Good morning. Good morning. I'm pondering, do I need to have that one of the problems that I'm having with the mundane story is that I don't have a clear-cut obstacle. When I started South Coast, I knew that the obstacle was going to be Jimmy Pirano needing to get more food together so that he could bid on the contract for the shipyard. Minutes for the second half. Yeah, it's slow. It's all right. I'm out. I'm moving. I'm not going to beat myself up for it. Tomorrow's another day. I'm almost at the gate, but tomorrow is dorm day. I'm not sure what the schedule looks like for tomorrow, and I'm not sure whether or not I will have time or energy, because I have to help the elder daughter move back into the dorm tomorrow. But I don't know when. I don't really know what the circumstances are. So whether or not I have the hour or so it takes to do the podcast tomorrow, I don't really know. But we'll find out tomorrow, because tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.